Eyes up into the projector screen behind me. We're going to be going to the Gospel of John this morning. We're going to go chapter number 14. If you can, stand with me this morning and we'll read verse number 6 while you're standing. And then Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Praise our God. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name and we thank you, Lord, for your presence that we sense and we feel here in this place this morning. We thank you, Lord, for what you have been speaking unto us already. And God, we know that you are going to continually speak to our hearts, our minds, and our souls through the remainder of this service, the remainder of this day. God, have your way with me, Lord God, that I can share these things that you've laid upon my heart with your people. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated again this morning. I want to go back to John chapter number 14. This will not be upon the projector, but it's just the previous verses to verse number 6. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And it, to me, it's kind of funny that it's Thomas. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? And of course, this is what prompted then Jesus to make the statement that we've read in our opening text this morning. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is all we need. Jesus is all we need. And I'm not making that statement as I have encountered in days gone by of different individuals not wanting to serve the Lord, not wanting to follow on to know the Lord, not wanting to live according to God's word. And their reply is, well, as long as I know Jesus, as long as I have Jesus. Well, that just reveals they don't understand what it means to know Jesus, and they don't understand what it means to have Jesus. And that's what I'm going to try to clarify this morning. When you make the statement, Jesus is all I need, you're realizing that everything pertaining to God's Word is Jesus Christ. You are realizing that everything that pertains to the Father is Jesus Christ. And you realize that everything that pertains to the Holy Ghost of God is Jesus Christ. They are three in one. And the purpose of the Spirit of God is to exalt Jesus Christ in your heart, in your mind, in your life, that you can turn around and exalt Jesus Christ wherever you go, wherever you live, whatever you do. Hallelujah. You do it all for the glory and the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so when I make the statement, Jesus is all we need, I am talking about everything that God wants to do in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, in our soul as a believer to take us to that place where Jesus is all in all to me. You see, Jesus has got to have all of me. So he can become all to me. You see, if there's some of me left ruling in my life, then Jesus is not everything to me. I am. If I can't deny myself for the cause of Jesus, then Jesus is not all in all to me. See, this is kind of where you kind of just divide. the true followers of Jesus Christ. Because the followers of Jesus Christ, they go where he's already gone. They walk as he's already walked. Jesus is really all that we need to have victory over self, victory over sin, victory over the devil. Because when Jesus has me, I've got him. Hallelujah. This is very important, especially in these last days, because we've just got a society that has kind of gone just Jesus crazy. And everything is Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. But they don't know the Jesus that they're talking about. They don't know him. And so I want to share some things here in John chapter 6 and verses 67 through 69. We know Jesus is the way. See, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's why Jesus is all we need, because Jesus is the way. Well, how do I get to heaven? Well, Jesus is the way. Hallelujah. And I'm not just talking about his finished work on Calvary, because that's just the beginning point. That's just the forgiveness of past sins. That's just being birthed into the kingdom of God, and that's just becoming a child of God. That's not the end of the way. Hallelujah. For Jesus is the way by his doctrine. A lot of folks get scared when you start talking about doctrine, and I've actually encountered people say, oh, we just need to throw doctrine out the door and let the Spirit of God lead us. Poor souls. They don't understand that the Spirit of God and doctrine are synonyms. Doctrine just means the truths of God. And so we see that by his doctrine, Jesus Christ is the way. John 6, verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. So if you're going to believe this morning that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of the living God, then you got to realize that he is the way. And he has the words of life. And so I've got to get in and start following him in that way. Ooh, praise our God. Hallelujah. That's what was going on. Some of the things Jesus was teaching, a lot of his disciples departed from him in John 6 there. And he turned to his disciples and said, all right, now you've heard what I've said. Are you going to depart also? You going to leave also? They didn't understand what he said, but there's one thing they did know. He was the Christ. He was the Son of the living God. And so here we find the reality. I may not understand what he's telling me. I may not perceive it 100%. But this one thing I know, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if he's telling me this, then I better listen. I better listen and I better follow until I get further understanding. But our human nature says, if I don't understand, I won't follow. But that new man that's been created inside of us and created in Christ Jesus, when he knows that God is speaking, he follows whether he understands or not. Because he knows if he follows God, he will get the understanding. Hallelujah. You see, that's what faith is all about. It's not that God just leads us blind. It's just God wants us to trust him. Amen. To trust him. That he is actually, believe it or not, smarter than we are. You realize that's why a lot of people can't trust, because they just don't really believe God's smarter than they are. What's that called? Pride? Arrogance? It's sure not humility. Woo! And a lot of times we really don't want to say that's our mind frame, but our actions speak louder than our words. You ever heard that? And so we don't trust God, we just do our own thing for God. Oh, God help us this morning. Are you getting the picture? Jesus is all we need. We need Jesus. Jesus, we're depending on you. We're depending on your doctrine. We're depending on your directive of life. Hallelujah. Number two, we Jesus Christ is the way by his example. In 1 Peter 2 and 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He is the way by example. He walked the face of this earth. He lived a sinless life. The Word of God declares to us that he was tempted in all points as you and I are, in the present even. Bible tells us there's not anything new under the sun. It all falls underneath that category, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Every temptation you'll ever face is going to fall underneath those three categories right there. And that's just been the way it's been ever since Adam and Eve fell to sin. But the victory has come through Jesus Christ, and so thus by his example, even on the cross. Hallelujah. You see, I'm fearful. This is why some people don't like to read God's Word. Because then they realize very, very, very severely how bad they're acting. Yeah, you know, if I don't know, then it won't hurt me, right? Well, that's a lot of times the way it is. But you'll find those who realize that Jesus is all they need, they're going to be found in Jesus. They're going to be found in his word. Hallelujah. And we're going to be seeing and knowing that he's the way by the truths that he preached, the doctrine that he brought, the example that he lived. We're going to know the way by his sacrifice. The Holy Ghost, this is Hebrews 9, verse number 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience or the mind frame. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hallelujah. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ brought a change, brought the New Testament into action, brought to where now there's going to be a change on the inside, a change of the mind frame, a change of desires. Hallelujah. If you've never had your mind frame adjusted in the house of God or in the Word of God, then I doubt if you're a child of God. Hello. Because that's exactly what the Word of God does and the Spirit of God does. It renews our mind to where we begin to think holy thoughts, righteous thoughts, pure thoughts, thoughts of God, his ways, thoughts of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done. Hallelujah. If you forget what Christ has done for you, then you will go astray. Just the way it works. I've got to realize Jesus is all I need. Amen. Jesus Christ is the way also by his Spirit. John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Spirit of God, once again, is the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is being moving into that relationship with Jesus Christ on a higher level. A lot of people still don't fully understand Pentecost. They still don't fully understand speaking in other tongues. A lot of times that's a stumbling block. Why? Well, because we can't understand it. We can't figure it out. It's one of those things we realize it is the gift of God and we receive it because it's God's gift to us. Even if we don't understand it, we follow anyway. And you will find, if you haven't already found, your greatest hindrance to being filled with the Spirit of God is that lack of surrender. You just can't give it over. You just can't give it up. You just don't want somebody else telling you what to do. Just what it amounts to. We don't like to call it that, but I know from personal experience, it's just a lot of times we don't like to give it up. We want to hang on to that baggage Sister Lindsay was talking about. Amen. And so we see then the Spirit of God is exalting Jesus Christ, drawing men to Jesus Christ, showing men Jesus Christ, showing us the way. He's the Spirit of truth, which leads us into the reality of the second statement of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the truth. A lot of times people make this statement, well, what is truth? And we sometimes start, well, okay, well, God's word is true and true. And we just need to just put them and stop them in their tracks and just need to tell them Jesus Christ is truth. And if you want to know truth, he's right here. He'll talk to you because he's alive and well. He's not dead, buried, and put in a tomb somewhere, and his bones have turned to dust today. No, no, he's alive. We forget this, even as Christians sometimes. He's alive. He's a well. He's got a body. It's a glorified body. And if he wanted to or needed to, he would stand right here and show you he's alive and well. But what he's done is he sent the Holy Ghost back to let you know he's alive and well, and you can communicate with him, talk with him, fellowship with him, love him. He'll love you back. Talk to him, he'll talk back to you, hallelujah, and he'll talk to you through the Holy Ghost and through the Word of God. Praise be to his name. He's alive, he's a person, he's the second person of the Trinity, and he still calls the shots. Hallelujah. And when the church listens to his voice, she's strong, she's mighty, she's victorious. Well, when the church loses the reality that he's alive and well and real, they think they can get away with anything because they don't put him right there beside them. They, in their minds, he's a long ways off. But in reality, he's right here, living right inside of us. Hallelujah. And so we see then he's the truth. And he's the truth in this sense that all other things and all opposition and all false religions are just that. If they don't center around Jesus Christ, him dead, crucified, buried, and rose the third day, then they're false. If they don't adhere to the Word of God, then they're false. So Jesus Christ is the truth. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. We're going to read a little bit more about it here in just a moment. But as touching the Mosaic Law, which is truth, which is God's Word. But the Mosaic Law was only the shadow, not the truth or the substance of the good things that were to come through Jesus Christ. Then here's your scripture, John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What does that mean? The Bible talks to us a little bit later, Paul's writings. He said that law was a schoolmaster that directed you to your need for God. Amen. But the law couldn't provide the power that was needed for the transformation of the heart. But Jesus Christ can. Hallelujah. And that's why he brought grace on the scene. What is grace? Unmerited favor. What is grace? That means God sees how you are, but he doesn't hold that against you. He just keeps revealing truth to you with the power of the Spirit of God to let you know you don't have to stay that way. Did you catch that? You don't have to stay your way. You can enter into the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. And so we see then, Jesus Christ is the truth, and he brought truth to the reality of writing those wonderful laws of God, of morality and holiness and righteousness, right into us, our hearts, our minds, being renewed by the Spirit of God, being renewed by the Word of God, having that pure mind, pure heart. What is that? A heart that is in surrender to Jesus Christ. Amen. And number three, in respect to all the promises of God. See, Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Everything pertaining to God and God's plan of salvation for man is found in Christ. This is why Jesus Christ is all we need. Hallelujah. And entering into that full-fledged relationship with him. It's called commitment, consecration, dedication. In respect to all the promises of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Everything is found in Jesus Christ. If I need deliverance, it's found in Jesus Christ. If I need healing, it's found in Jesus Christ. If I need direction for life, it's found in Jesus Christ. If I need understanding, it's found in Jesus Christ. If I need power, it's found in Jesus Christ. If I get the picture, whatever I need, that's just what he is. Hallelujah. And it's not in the sense of me being a spoiled brat wanting things. It is me of dependence upon him, needing him, so I can be like him. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. So he is the way, he is the truth, and here's one of the most wonderful ones. He's the life. You've probably heard this. I've heard it different places, different people. How's it going? I say, living the dream. What's that mean? I mean, you know, because if you go off the dream somebody had the other night, it might be a nightmare. Living the dream. I'm curious. I really don't know what they mean by living the dream. But if I use it, living the dream would be the life that's found in Jesus Christ. That would be living the dream. Having a relationship with God, that should be what everybody desires and wants. Living the dream. Praise God. You see, we are from America, and we just read Thursday night about how that the founding forefathers were very serious about they were we all created equal and all had opportunity in the pursuit of happiness. And so I think really what they mean is the dream is whatever makes them happy, is what they mean. But the reality is, are you really happy? Because I have found that if Jesus Christ is not in the center of your life, you are not happy. You're looking for all kinds of things to make you happy, but you're not happy. You got to have motivators from the outside to bring happiness. Jesus Christ on the inside produces happiness. Hallelujah. And so we see he is the life. John chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word. See, he is the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Are you seeing the truth here? Hallelujah. How that he is the truth, but yet that truth is what is bringing the life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. You see, the dilemma of not understanding has been there from the very beginning of time. And especially the very beginning of Christ coming into this world, light came into the world and darkness comprehended it not. They didn't understand. Nicodemus, one of the great rulers of the Jewish people, come to Jesus by night, wanted to know about life. And Jesus' prompt response, really almost before he asked the question, you must be born again. There's something's got to change on the inside of you before you're going to see the light. Darkness prevents you from seeing the light until the light is allowed entrance. You might think that's strange, but most people don't understand. God's not going to make you go to heaven. God's not going to make you live right. God's not going to make you follow His word. He's not going to make you have a good attitude. He's not going to make you do anything. Because God has created you to worship Him. So it's your responsibility to have the right attitude. It's your responsibility to do the right thing. It's your responsibility to give praise to God. It's your responsibility to be found in the Word. It's your responsibility to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's your responsibility to be saved. Because God's provided it all, but it's your responsibility to receive of that goodness. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. He's our life. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 2. For the life was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. And that's John talking about Jesus Christ and the life that He lived on the face of the earth. 1 John 5 and 11. And this is the record. For the record. That God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Who's that? Jesus. Hallelujah. John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. The abundant life of Jesus Christ. Christ living on the inside. Jesus on the inside. Working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. The life that Jesus Christ brings. Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Once again, the life Christ brings, Christ coming in, bringing light, amen, and then that light becomes the light of men. The Bible declares that Jesus was the first one that was a light shining in darkness. But then He said, you are the light of the world. Whoa, how could that be? Because I'm going to dwell in you. And because I dwell in you, my light illuminates you. And you then are a light shining in a world of darkness. Hallelujah. It's the only way it can work. It's got to illuminate me first. It's got to illuminate you first. Then it will illuminate those that are around you when they see the change in your life. Praise our God. This is what's happening in the church world today, is they are preaching the message, come as you are, God loves you as you are, and then they just don't do anything about that. And they stay as they are. Yeah. But there's a partial truth there, because that is God's call. Grace says, come as you are. I love you. I care for you. But I'll change you, and you can become like me. Transformation, the power of life in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him that died for them and rose again. See, here it is. Once again, I give Him my all. He gives me His all. What's going on? Now I'm living for Him. I'm following Him. because my all belongs to Him, spirit, soul, and body. See, that covers every territory in my life. That covers my opinions, my attitudes, my words that I use. I hope you're getting the picture. Jesus is all I need, because when He begins to transform my life begins to change. And when my life begins to change, that's when joy begins to flood my soul. And I find the joy of walking with God, that life of that way, that truth, that life. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, once again, if Jesus is with me, and I am walking with Him, and I am His, and He is mine, this is what keeps my life clean. My sins, not there. Because they're not there. I'm not saying that sins that are there, He won't look at them. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is because He's there, there are no sins. Because I'm following Him. You mean, Brother Pepper, you mean you think you can live sinless? I'm thinking I'm supposed to be doing that, yeah. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the Spirit of God. Does that mean I'm living sinless all the time? No, that's the big problem. See, we're still plagued with the flesh. We're still plagued with the carnal mind. We're still under attack by the enemy. I guess you realize that we have not yet left this world, and thus we are still in contact battle, if you will, with the adversary of our soul. Hallelujah. And when you go out into the world on your everyday jobs and working amongst society, you are rubbing elbows with sin. And sometimes it gets off on you, and you don't realize it until the Spirit of God shows you. And then you grab a hold of one of the greatest portions of Scripture. If I confess my sin, He is just and faithful to forgive me of my sin. I got to call it what it is. I can't sugarcoat it and say it doesn't make any difference. No, I've got to realize it does make a difference, and I need to be loose from it. And I need to call it what it is. And then He will, see, once again, that's what is that? That's me surrendering my mind frame on the situation to Him and calling it what He calls it. And then He'll call it forgiven. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John 4:9, and this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Last scripture here this morning, Sister Pepper's making her way back to the piano, 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's just pretty plain and simple, isn't it? Do I have the Son? It's not really what I need to be asking. What I really need to be asking is, does the Son have me? Because that's the only way I can have the Son, is when I give myself to Him. We're creatures of choice. We've been created that way. That's how love can be displayed. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Does He have me? Am I His? Can He do whatever He needs to do with me? Or will He receive arguments from me? Will He receive times of counseling from me? You know, kind of like when Jesus was telling Peter that He was going to go to Jerusalem, and there He's going to suffer at the hands of the religious leaders, and there He's going to die and rise again the third day. And Peter began to correct the Lord Oh, not so, Lord, not so. We can't let that happen to you at all. You know, we love you too much, so you can't do that. Now, you can't go down there and let them kill you. We won't let that happen. I'm just kind of, that's how we would respond according to what Peter was doing. You know, because Peter thought he was tough. Peter thought he was on target, and Peter was always presumptuous, and so he was going to be the first one to stand up for the Lord. Of course, you realize the rest of the story, how he denied the Lord, you know, three times before morning came, and you see, what's your response to when God talks to you? Do you begin to try to tell him of how he's making a mistake? How that, you know, I can't really do that. I can't really live that way. Or do you just give yourself to him and say, Lord, I can't do it, but take me and work it in me. Have your way with me until I can. Until I can. Because you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. And I'll not see the Father without you. I'll not inherit eternal life without you. I'll not have my sins washed away without you. I'll not have understanding without you. Because, Lord, you have the ways of life. You have the word of life. Your ways are far above man's ways. But your love has brought him down to us so that his ways can be revealed to us and worked in us, because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Hallelujah. That I so desperately need in my life. Praise our God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Just lift your voice unto the Lord. Lift your hands unto God. And just talk to him here this morning. Whatever you're sensing in your heart, whatever you're sensing in your mind, just go ahead and talk to him about it here this morning at this time of this service. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to our God. God of heaven, we worship you and we thank you. And we thank you for this great salvation. We thank you for the grace of God and the mercies, Lord, that are renewed every morning, that I might know Jesus, that I might know the power of his resurrection, that I might know that fellowship of what it is to suffer, oh, for the cause of Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, that I might walk in your steps, Lord. Oh, that I might be conscious of my need. Oh, that I might be conscious of how much I need you, Lord, in my life.
I know that Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer.
Lord, that I might understand your word, that I might know your ways, Lord God. Not just know them, Lord, that they might be written in my heart, Lord. Oh, that my mind might be renewed, Lord God, that I can see things the way you see them, Lord. Hallelujah. Think about them the way you think about them, God. Oh, glory, glory. Oh, Lord, that grace would be the dominating factor in my thought pattern. Lord, that mercy, God, would be seen through the eyes of the believers. Hallelujah. Towards all those that are around us.
Glory. Though time and ages roll, I know that Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer to your soul. And though some may say that he doesn't fit their philosophy,
wonderful works in us. Hallelujah. Let's come around the altars here this morning. Let's close with a time of reflection towards Jesus.